So I had to grab Mad Max because he's one of my boys. He's part of our team. Without giving it away, we're going to do something next week that's going to be insane. I've been talking about, and now we're getting a lot of feedback from folks living in public housing that are treated like dogs. And in fact, we would treat our dogs better. Woman sending me pictures of rats and mice and fecal matter in the halls and syringes, collapsed floors, collapsing garages. Man, these are human beings, man. This is publicly funded stuff, man. Had a woman had to live in the front yard in a tent because her friggin' apartment is full of mold. That's just not cool. And Mad Max and I feel the same way. We're going to go into a couple apartments next week live. They're going to scare the hell out of you and get them fixed. It's disgusting. I hate this notion that, oh, they're just living off the government. Screw you if you feel that way. These are people, man, with kids. Man, it's public housing. Max gets it. Meantime, Max and I have been talking about this new homeless encampment that kind of troubles us. And Max sends me this note saying, I'm going to put my drone up over this trail. And he did. And now the video has got a lot of people talking because of what it shows. And it's kind of scary. Mad Max, hey, brother, how are you?
Good, brother, how are you?
Whoa. Well, we now zoomed in on that video, and clearly this homeless guy, who knows if he's high or got felonies or mental illness or whatever, clearly, Max, he's standing there with a rifle and wanted to either shoot at you or shoot down the drone. Tell us how this played out.
So the reason that I have the drone, for everybody that's wondering, is I'm thinking about starting a new initiative called Trash for Cash, and I'm looking for places that are junked up. And my thought is to go in there with a stack of $5 bills and pay the homeless or whoever's in the encampment or whatever area $5 for each garbage bag they fill up to clean up the city. This guy's doing it in Woonsocket in Rhode Island, and it's had great success. So anyway, that's why I had the drone up. I'm just looking for trash. So in the process, these two guys come out from either under the tree or under a tent, and I notice he's got a rifle. I zoom in. I'm up about 125, 150 feet, so I wasn't harassing them. I was just looking, you know, to see if there's garbage that could be picked up. And, you know, he motioned like he was going to shoot at the drone, so I got out of there. I didn't want to stick around and risk, you know, losing a drone. Wasn't worth it, so just moved on.
Man, Max, I tell you what, man, this makes me nervous for a bunch of reasons. Number one, my wife, your wife, our kids could be on that damn bike trail right now, and this man has got a weapon. That is not cool, is it, Max?
Not cool at all, especially given the mental state of a lot of these people in these encampments that are abusing drugs. This encampment actually was cleaned up back in 2023 when Andy Sheehan covered it, and they found over 1,000 syringes there. And just evidence of drug abuse everywhere. And they got all but maybe two tents out of there back in 2023. And now there's back up to about 21, 22 tents in this encampment. And it's getting all junked up again.
Max, I don't give a damn if this guy says he has a permit. There's no way he should be roaming around pointing that gun at people or things, right?
Absolutely not. And not only that, but to shoot at a drone is an FAA. It's a felony. So it's a nice way to end up in jail.
Well, plus, Max, who's to know now if you go down there and you go down there with me and he decides, oh, I'm going to shoot at them.
Right. So I actually alerted the Zone 1 police just in case, you know, they're going into this encampment. You know, this guy, could he shoot the cops? Is that a real rifle? Is it a pellet gun?
Right.
Hard to say. It looks like a lever action, you know, at a minimum, a pellet rifle or a 22 caliber rifle, which is very deadly. So, you know, not a good situation for that type of people to have a firearm in that situation at all. Very unsafe.
Plus, Max, what you have pointed out and what I'm seeing is these camps are coming back and this one is growing rapidly, sir, right?
That's true. So, like I said, there's about 21, 22, possibly more tents since the last time I counted them. Wow. But yeah.
So what is it, Max? You're just moving back in? What is it?
Well, it's warm. These people do not want to be in a shelter. They don't want rules. They don't want somebody telling them they can't bring their drugs into abuse. So they'd rather just stay in their tent and get high. And then the advocates from some, you know, agencies come out and they actually bring these guys little care packages with like little syringes and tie off straps and cooker tins. They give them everything they need to be high. Wow. And they, so it's not a good situation. You know, you think you're being compassionate, but you're just killing these people slowly.
And why the hell would he have a gun, a rifle, and he's pointing it and shooting it? Not cool.
Yeah. So my question is, you know, is that a legally owned firearm? Did he steal it from somebody? Where did it come from? How did he acquire it?
And Max, that's a very prominent area, brother, where a lot of folks hang or walk or ride bikes.
Well, it's also very close to the Sarah Hines Center where there's an after school program for kids, I believe.
Oh. Yeah.
So that's also concerning.
Man.
And who's to say, you know, this guy, what if he's taking pot shots at cars going by? You know, he's bored and he's shooting cars going by on the ramp.
Wow.
Stranger things have happened, Marty.
No, I'm with you. This is very enlightening. I sent it to the police chief and to the mayor's folks. They should do something about this. They should at least ask the guy, what the hell are you doing with this gun?
Make sure he doesn't have any warrants or felonies or any other thing that prohibits him from being a legal firearm owner, for sure.
I mean, it could be a BB gun or a pellet gun, but I doubt it. He could have a license, but I doubt that. Just saying. He could be a Boy Scout, but I doubt that. Mad Max, my brother. Truth to power, man. Thanks. It's a hell of a job, Max. Wow.
Yeah, thanks. Got it.
My man. I have so many problems with this. It's right there where they have kids' classes. It's right there where folks walk. It's right there where folks ride bikes. It's right there where folks live. You know, you might say, some guy's saying, how do you know he's not permitted, really? Homeless guy, shirtless and high. Yeah, he's got a concealed carry permit. Sure he does. And the moon is made of cheese. And the earth is flat. Scary stuff. I hope they check this out. I love people on social. Leave those people alone, really. So, sir, your kid's down there with your wife. You're riding bikes. You're at the living there, and someone's pointing a rifle at him. You probably have a different story to tell. Great job, Mad Max. This is what we're about. I want to play this clip. Larry had Barry on the air yesterday. I want you to hear this clip about this teen issue and what the city's trying to classify these takeovers. Listen, it's very cool. Listen.
For the first time since COVID, the city of Pittsburgh has resurrected what it calls Family Swim. Bottom line, no unaccompanied children during those times.
Why are we not calling this specifically a chaperone policy?
Well, so our goal is to bring back Family Swim. The city's always done it. We want to be family first. We believe every family should choose Pittsburgh to live. So I think a family approach from 5 to 7 allows us to do that.
Look, I love the mayor. He's been very assertive. And by the way, the chief, who I love, Jason Lando, just texted me. They're sending a crew down there right now to check out that homeless person with a rifle. JK, this is part of what scares me about the homeless and this guy pointing a rifle at people and firing it. Man, this is what happens when you allow crime to take over a place where it shouldn't be and these people shouldn't be. Yes, sir?
I agree. The system continues to repetitively fail us. You know, there's so many things in place that we could be doing. If you just systematically work through the problem, one case at a time, one crime at a time, everything, and follow it through from the arrest, go to court, have your hearings, get your due diligence in court and so forth, but actually have a process that they get incarcerated or penalized or whatever. But it doesn't exist in this county. So, yeah, here we go. We're starting to look like the Wild West with guys walking around on walking trails with rifles.
It's weird. And it's frightening. Hey.
It's very frightening.
Hey, JK, I wanted you to pay attention to what you heard the reporter say, that the mayor, I like him. He's been very aggressive. He's working his ass off. But when they try to sugarcoat this teen invasion thing, and teen takeover thing, and call it family swimming, doesn't help anyone. Admit the problem, address the problem, end the problem. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I agree. I've been thinking about this a little bit. You know, okay, the family time thing, that's nice, 5 to 7, whatever. Okay, but what's that accomplishing? What is that? What's our ultimate goal here? We want to people to be able to go to the swimming pool, swim, have a good time, and enjoy themselves. When you have a problem individual, one individual or 10 individuals, you remove them from that premises. You remove them from there.
Boom.
So you eliminate the problem one at a time. You start a list. It's pretty simple. When I was a kid, you signed in, you signed out. Everybody knows who you are. They know who their trouble ones are. They know who the good ones are. So the thing that I don't like about this, okay, once again, here we go with blanket policies. Everybody gets a trophy. You know, everybody's involved. All the good kids are sucked in, you know, because of the 10% that we can't manage as a city, as a school district, as a law enforcement. And I'm kind of disappointed in that. You know, I was thinking about how these kids are going to these pools and so forth. And I tried to think to my experience. My sister was 2 years older than everybody. She walked 5 or 6 kids to the pool every day, back and forth.
Wow.
Okay. So my mom worked, everybody's mother worked. So what about all those good kids who aren't causing a problem, who want to go to the pool and enjoy themselves, but now the older sister isn't enough. So we're going to blanket punish people instead of addressing individual crimes. Cause they're like, oh, we don't want to yell at the guy that's causing all the problem. We want to screw every single kid coming to this pool to make it an issue.
Completely agree.
You know, address the problem one case at a time. It'll start going away, but they're not addressing it. They're not changing their policies or their procedures. You know, they put this, powdered sugar on a turd for the pool, which is ridiculous.
JK,
it's ridiculous.
Here's what I like. Kenny Weird and Sandcastle had all kind of trouble with these idiots fighting each other and beating people up. So they said, my man, you ain't coming in here without an adult. And what it does is it holds adults responsible for the actions of these idiots. And so if these kids screw up, mommy and daddy get snatched. At least it creates that, you're responsible, ma'am. They better not act up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with that. You know, the parents have to be held accountable. But we have to, you know, we have to figure out the right balance here.
Yep.
How come we're always affecting the kids who aren't doing anything wrong? I grew up at the entrance of Mountain and Fisher, the entrance to the projects up there for a couple years. You know, I know some horrible kids that have come out of there. And to this day, I still talk to people who are incredible professional people. You know, what about those kids? But they just, if they would just do everything in a uniform manner, okay, Everybody go to the pool. If you're a problem, I'm sorry, Jimmy. You're a problem here. Here's strike number one. I'm contacting your parents. Your parents got to come back up to get your pool pass to let you back in. So you pass, you know, one or two strikes. But if you're just doing a blanket to get all the kids, I can't go for that, man. I don't like it.
I get it.
I just don't like it. The enforcement end, holding parents accountable, you know, they're trying to make some moves, but they're not – they're looking at it wrong. You know, they're giving everybody a trophy instead of going after the true problem kids, because literally 5 to 7% of all the crime is being committed by, you know, it's crime is being committed by 5 to 7%
by the way, of the kids. By the way, the homicide detectives in Pittsburgh say it's closer to 3%. So 3% of the morons in Pittsburgh commit 97% of the major crimes, to your point, sir. Right.
State attorney general stepped in. Oh, my God. There had to be 15, 16 armed robberies, $800,000 accumulated damages from 12 to 17. Kids running around wild and chaos. State attorney general steps in, starts arresting, prosecuting them as adults. Everything shut down and stopped. It hasn't occurred since he made those moves in February.
True.
Yeah. One group. He stopped hundreds of crimes, millions of dollars in damage, destruction to the community. You know,
JK,
they need to address these cases one at a time.
JK, I'm going to be walking through some pretty sketchy, dangerous places next week. I might need your assistance. I'll let you know on the details, okay?
I'd love to go. I'm a busted up mess, brother. I don't know what I got left.
My man. Thanks, brother.
Yes, sir.
Public accountability and public responsibility. It's what we need, and that's why I love him.
Sunny and 92 degrees at Pittsburgh International at 1:30. I'm Paul Alexander. The Pittsburgh Walk of Fame has unveiled its 2026 class of inductees. News Radio KDK's Tamara Rush has that list.
10 influential figures with ties to southwestern Pennsylvania will be inducted into the Pittsburgh Walk of Fame this October. The 2026 class includes Myron Cope, Franco Harris, Mario Lemieux, H.J. Hines, Jimmy Stewart, Henry Mancini, Shirley Jones, Martha Graham, Charles Teeny Harris, and George Washington. Their bronze stars will be installed along the Strip District Terminal, recognizing their lasting contributions to sports, entertainment, business, the arts, and innovation. The public is invited to attend the free induction ceremony October 13th at the terminal. Tamara Rush, News Radio KDKA.
The source of a major multi-state outbreak of cyclosporiasis is now underway. Cyclosporiasis is a prolonged produce-borne intestinal illness. It causes explosive, watery diarrhea, severe fatigue, and bloating that can last for weeks if untreated. Health departments are primarily pointing to contaminated fresh produce like lettuce, salad mixes, and fresh herbs. UPMC's Chief Medical Officer Don Yealy says if you catch the virus, there are things you can do to take it home that will help settle your stomach.
Outside of that, the key thing, Marty, is to keep up with the hydration. Make sure you're taking in fluids. You have to take in what you normally need plus what you're losing below the Mason-Dixon line.
He says in some cases, an antibiotic can be prescribed, but those are usually reserved for the more severe cases or for people who have compromised conditions. The Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank is launching the Gismondi Food Bank Academy with $1 million commitment from the Gismondi Foundation. Chief Program Officer Charlize McKinney explains how the Academy will provide training and resources to partner organizations.
Things like having our partners establish an online presence, it can help them not only with fundraising, but being able to provide neighbors with information on their service hours and the types of services that they're offering. So really things that are going to make neighbors aware of the services that they offer, but also to help them remain sustainable and able to serve the community for many years to come.
McKinney says support from Pittsburgh philanthropist John and Lisa Gismondi will provide 3 years of acceleration funding to strengthen hunger relief efforts across the region. Today's planned demolition of the Commercial Street Bridge may be delayed. Sources tell Marty Griffin, PennDOT, and other officials have been meeting to discuss overnight vandalism at the work site. The plan was to demolish the structure from the parkway sometime between now and 9 o'clock tonight. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 28 points, the NASDAQ up 40, the S&P 500 up 3 points. KDK Radio News Time is 1:32, our next update, 2 o'clock. I'm Paul Alexander on the voice of Pittsburgh News Radio, KDKA.
All right, this is cool. And I tell you why I did this. I find this story fascinating. I'm always fascinated by men and women of that take risks. And honestly, just by chance, I swear I was looking for a plumber. This is a true story. And so I asked Sam, who's one of my boys now, with cousins, and he sends me this name. And a complete stranger to me. And I get on the phone with him. And he has this insanely successful plumbing business, which is great, cool. But it's how he got there. I'm all about risk. Okay, I'm all about chasing the rabbit. I'm all about doing something unique and different. And so I start talking to JP, who's sitting here. And by the way, he's wearing a $1,000 suit, which I've never seen a plumber wear in my life. But that's kind of the hook, right? Kind of the hook is that, this is why I love your story. Kind of tell folks your background, because everyone out there who says, I hate my job, I want to do something different. Tell us how you got going in this. It's actually fascinating to me.
Yeah, so I mean, I was born and raised in Las Vegas, but my family's from Natrona Heights, so big city mentality, but always had Western PA core values. So, you know, Vegas taught me how to dream, but Pittsburgh taught me how to grind. So, I was in banking for 20 years.
Hold on. This is actually beautiful. You're a friggin' banker, right?
Correct. Yep.
Doing loans and, right?
Yep. Business loans, personal loans, running branches, running regions.
So, as a banker.
As a banker, yes.
And now you're a friggin' plumber.
Now I'm in the plumbing business.
This is absolutely beautiful. So I love the story, why I actually begged him to come here today. How did you get from that to this?
So one of my friends owns Unflooded, a water mitigation, mold remediation company.
Unflooded,
okay. Yep. And he came to me and said, hey, I need some capital funding. I'm gonna buy into this plumbing franchise. And so started the funding and went up to Cincinnati headquarters with them and did discovery days for 3 days. And I was looking for bank deals, but wow. Came home with a job opportunity.
No.
Like, why don't you jump in and help me start this? And so let's do it. You know,
you quit your career as a banker.
Quit it. Yep.
Decades. Right out
of decades.
And started a plumbing business.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yep. And zero clients, zero employees.
No.
I was the first employee. Yeah.
What? Is that your dad that taught you this? Your mom? What is that instinct?
Just my family. My great-grandfather and his brother bought a business during the Great Depression.
That's
for $1,000.
That's amazing.
An auto parts business in Trenum, and then they built the Heights Plaza in Natrona Heights.
Wow.
In the 50s, and just always had a knack for taking risks and following your dreams and
wow,
seeing wow. what happens. So,
wow. And you were married with young kids at the time.
Yeah, I've been with my wife for 26 years. My son's 17 now. My daughter's 14. So this is 3.5 years ago. So they were 14 and 11.
No clients.
Zero clients.
No revenue.
No revenue.
No.
Just a lot of debt. A lot of business debt.
And had you ever fixed a toilet or anything in your life?
No.
Same.
No.
Same. I can barely flush one. Huh?
Never touch plumbing. Nope.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And for folks out there wanting to try something new, what was it that clicked for you that you said, hell with it, man, I got to try this?
It's just I've always had my entire career. I've always just believed in people and try to unlock the what they have inside of them. And it was an opportunity for me to try to unlock something I never thought I had in me. That's for sure. But I've had other businesses in my life. I owned a bar restaurant before while I was in banking. And then I also started this world's second online gaming for video gamers.
You did?
Yeah. Back in 2006, 2007, and 2008. So you could bet John Madden football online anywhere around the world.
Still?
No, I got sold that in after 2 years.
I sure you did. So. I love. So you have that mentality. You like to chase the rabbit and try something new all the time.
Yep.
Wow. And by the way, this is JP Marino. The name of the company is One Tom Plumber.
Yes, sir.
And you were laughing about it because I asked you, where's the name come from?
Tom Crapper.
Crapper.
Yeah, Tom Crapper.
From where the name of the Crapper came
from back in the day.
Right, back in the day. Correct. The original name for a toilet.
Yes.
And when people say taking a crap, right? Yeah. So dumb question. How do you learn plumbing? Do you know plumbing?
I do now. I mean, I jumped in the field. I've snake drains. I've hydrogenic drains. Our director of plumbing operations, Matt Blythe, he's also our master plumber. He's been in the business 20 years.
Wow.
So it was just, he was our second hire. He was our second employee. So I've gone out, pecked the house with him, rode with him a few times, rode with some guys. So I know, and I was running dispatch. I was the only dispatcher when I first opened. Yeah, 24/7 dispatcher right here. So,
I love your story.
You get a lot of crazy questions.
No one does this. Huh?
By the way,
we call it burying the lead. You're really having success.
We are. We're the fastest growing one-tom franchise in history. We broke the first six-month record, the first year record, the first two-year record. We're on track to break the third-year record.
Wow.
So, yeah, and it's just we have a great support team. We operate a lot different than most plumbing companies.
Well, hold on. This is my next question. This is JP Marino, and now if you're listening to his story, you can understand why I started talking to him on the phone and said, damn, this is cool. What makes your business work? What is it about you that motivates your people and gets them to excel the way they're excelling? This is fascinating to me.
Yeah, I mean, learning in leadership over the years, culture drives client experience, and client experience just drives business. Wow. So you don't really need to worry about the business coming in if you have that foundation. And we're so client experience focused, and we're also so culture focused for our teammates. You know, we just hit over 20 employees, and the culture there is bar none, best in class, and open communication. And the guys really, and we don't pay commission. Our plumbers don't make commission.
This is important.
It is. It's most 99% of the plumbing companies I've ever met pay the plumbers make commission. We don't pay.
So hold on. So some of them are sketch, and they'll upsell you.
Well,
so you need a faucet and they'll end up selling you two furnaces.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I always tell people, you know, our plumbers aren't out there trying to make their paycheck with our clients' money.
Wow.
So their hourly wage, and a lot of them make a ton of money because we're 24/7. So, but that separates us right there as well in the plumbing industry.
JP Marino, are you kind of shocked that you're having this success?
I am. It's been a fun ride. I mean, there was a lot of nights where I didn't sleep, you know, the first year and a half. I mean, and there was a lot of us that worked there, and even, and Brian, the owner, like he was the same. It was stressful because you just never know where it's going to go. But, you know, we grind it out, you know, I mean, it's Pittsburgh blue collar.
Yeah, man.
That's what Pittsburgh does. And that's how, you know, being in banking and working with the tradespeople and blue collar people, I just learned that grind.
And we have something in common. I was telling you about two of my boys, Matt Mertz, who was insanely successful, and Bob Tudio, I went to high school with.
Yeah.
They both believed in what you're saying, but they also believed in helping people and making a difference. You think the same way, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. We love helping people. communities. We try to do what we can in the community. And, you know, there's always, you know, I mean, I see, I'm a big fan of yours. So I always see what's going on in the city and outside, you know, the suburbs. And it takes all of us to do what we can.
JP, I love you, man. You're very unique. And let me tell you the truth. So I sit there in this big window and I see this guy come walking past the window in a really cool suit and perfectly shined shoes. There's no way, no disrespect to plumbers, that I would connect the dots to you being a guy who runs a plumbing company. But it's kind of part of your thing, right? Professionalism.
Yeah, professionalism. I mean, all our guys wear collared shirts tucked in.
It's amazing.
They have extra uniforms in the truck. So, I mean, yeah, and that's part of our culture, right? And that's what the client experience is getting to.
Wow.
You know, they're getting a professional plumber. It's and really our cool. our team, our plumber retentions, you know, we have guys don't want to leave our company.
Yeah, I want to work there now. Very cool. Can you hang for a bit?
Absolutely.
My man Sam from Cousin said, you got to call JP. And from the moment he started talking about his background, I said, this is a story that people need to hear, that you can completely stop everything you're doing, take a left turn, and kick ass by doing it the right way. JP Marino. Wow. We're right back, folks. So what's weird about the world we live in is that everyone knows everyone. And I'm sitting here. This is actually true. I'm sitting there with JP. And I'm reading this commercial about Twin Burrow, this new restaurant in Oakmont. And one of my boys, JK, who owns like how many? Is he own nine
Eight,
of them?
Nine now.
Eight or nine. He's nuts.
It's hard to keep track.
Is it fair to say he's a restaurant savant?
Absolutely, 100%. Best in the business.
And you owned restaurants.
Yeah.
So you know, man, it's like this weird life in a blender, right?
It's unimaginable. It's nothing what you think it is.
And every day is this new insane crisis. The cooler breaks, right? A waitress has pneumonia. A waiter stole $8,000 from the bar. You know what I'm saying? But somehow he manages eight or nine restaurants.
Discipline, man. He's disciplined.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he's very.
Because you watched him.
I mean, he's habitual. He has great habits, and he knows the recipe.
And like, I am biased because I love him, but that Twin Burrow place is amazing.
Oh, the transfusion slushy, best. It's the best.
Well, the beauty of that restaurant is, so you got adult slushies on the wall,
yeah,
and then your kids are sitting there eating homemade shakes and these insane, you know what I'm saying, the smash burger. There's a brilliance to him, right?
Oh, absolutely. Those shakes are the best, too. Like, he knows exactly how to make every, like, even his cocktails at his other restaurants, the lot, they're all first class.
And so you've run a bunch of, what is it about him that allows him to succeed in probably the worst business on earth?
Probably his habits. He doesn't drink or party. So, I mean, that's a big one. Yeah. I mean, a lot of bad bar owners and restaurant owners, they're in there drinking, slugging it out where he's... You know, you even said it. He gets he starts his day at midnight.
Midnight.
Yeah, that's when his day starts.
And he pays people well?
Pays them real well. They don't leave. His employee retention's huge.
A woman came over. We were at one of his new restaurants, and she said he let her create the whole menu, which, I mean, he lets them do this stuff. I know we're getting off track here, but you think the way he does, taking care of customers and success-driven, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's client experience focused. I mean, every restaurant you go in it's a client, it's an experience.
Wow. And you feel that way?
Do
you go over customers? Like, do you find out what the customer thought of your people in your service?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have over 1,000 5-star Google reviews, but like, I mean, every business has a couple 1 or 2 stars, but you know, I'm the point of contact for that. When I see that, I call them and I have conversations, and then I thank them for their time. Like, that's the only way we're going to grow. So, I mean, things are going to go south in any business on certain jobs. So, but it's really understanding that. And they sometimes they remove the one star or whatever, but sometimes they don't. But they're still appreciative that, you know, someone reached out to understand why and what went wrong and how we could coach our team to be better. So.
Well, man, it's a pleasure meeting you. You have that rare quality of enthusiasm, a passion, and expertise. And it's deadly and successful.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure, man.
Thank you.
We're going to... start doing some things together, because I feel like we could really make a difference.
Oh, yeah. Let's get it.
Man. And then, you know, JK. Uh-oh. What's that? What's the slushy called?
Transfusion.
It's hysterical. JK. All right, folks. Colin is next. Go get it.